This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. So Sir David Attenborough has shown us plastic in the oceans. We ourselves see plastic litter on our streets. And even if we really try quite hard, going plastic free is all but impossible here in Hertfordshire in the 21st century. So we need some solutions to our plastic crisis. Step in the big plastic count, back again after successes in 2022 and 24. Once more, we're being asked to spend a week counting our plastic. But why? How will counting plastic help? And what's the real way to keep the ever-growing plastic tide at bay? Well, who better to ask than Eve Warlow of Everyday Plastic? I spoke to Eve and I started by asking her to put me straight. She works for Everyday Plastic, but I thought that the big plastic count was run by Greenpeace.
The last two big plastic counts that have happened, the first one in 2022, the second one in 2024, Everyday Plastic worked with Greenpeace. And yeah, it was a really fantastic partnership. That partnership's ended now, and Everyday Plastic are delivering the 2026 big plastic count, really thanks to the Climate Fund from the National Lottery. And we're working with new delivery partners. We're working with Disability Rights UK, Global Learning London, and Keele University. And so the big plastic count this year is taking a slightly different form. We're working over the next 3 years. We are working with different communities, and we'll be doing the big plastic count 3 years in a row. So 2026, 2027 and 2028.
Oh, busy times for you then, busy times. So you want us to spend a week from the 9th to the 15th of March counting plastic that comes through our lives. Why do you want us to do that?
Exactly. So the big plastic count, for people that don't know, it's the UK's biggest people-powered investigation into household plastic waste. So in March, thousands of people from across the country will count their plastic. So for 1 week, we count all items of plastic that they throw away. And in doing so, we'll uncover the true scale of the UK's plastics crisis. So previous counts have shown that what we think happens to our plastic when we throw it away or when we recycle it, actually, that's not what happens. So we essentially use all of the data that the thousands of you across the UK provide us with in terms of what you throw away. And then we do all the data crunching, and we then use the results, firstly, to show the extent of the crisis that we're in with plastic, and then to use it to put pressure on the government to do more to tackle the plastics crisis. Plastic production is set to triple by 2060, and the UK is actually still one of the highest producers of plastic waste per person in the world. So it really is time to take action, and we really need the government to be doing more.
So when you want us to count our plastic, is that just plastic that we're going to put into the bin, or is that things that are going to be recycled as well? Because we've all got curbside recycling for plastic, so surely a lot of our stuff just gets recycled.
Well, that is a very good question, and you're right to think that. So we're asking people to count all plastic that they use in the week. So to be more specific, when I say use and then throw away. So anything that you would throw in your normal bin, but also anything that you recycle. There are a few exceptions, but it's any kind of food and drink packaging, whether that's soft or hard. And we actually have a plastic identifier tool, which helps you identify which wrapper goes where. But previous counts has shown that while you may think a plastic water bottle or some kind of food wrapper, I'll put it in the recycling and that's my job done. We've all thought that. The previous big plastic counts have actually shown that what we think is going to be recycled actually isn't. So the last time we did the big plastic count, which was in 2024, we found that 17% of the plastic that we throw away actually gets recycled. Most of it is actually being incinerated. So it's being sent to waste incinerators, essentially being burnt. So that's about 58%. About 14% is being exported. So that's exported to other countries. In theory, to be recycled there, but chances are there's often being exported to countries where there's less regulation around recycling, and we know that actually a lot of it ends up being burnt there. It becomes a problem for other countries to deal with. And then the last count showed that around 11% of our plastic waste is actually sent to landfill. So sadly, what you are putting in your recycle bin to be recycled, chances are it's not actually being recycled, although you've very much done your bit by, you know, washing it out and recycling correctly.
So how do you know from the big plastic count which things are being actually recycled and which things go to incineration? Because we don't tell you that, do we?
No. So that's a really good question. And we base it on statistics and information that we have generally each year. And I understand that we look at the data that we are compiling, and then we use those statistics that we already have on what's happening to the rubbish and the recycling. And then we use that data and we crunch the numbers with those averages to come up with these stats that. So we'll be doing the same this year. Once everybody's submitted their data to us, we'll do exactly the same with the updated figures. And then we'll be able to figure out the national statistics for what's being thrown away in 2026.
So when we count our plastic, we have to, as you say, you've got a little tool so that we can sort it into different categories. And so are you using those different categories to say whether you think that something will actually be recycled? For instance, a lot of us might put our plastic bags into a collection point at a supermarket, but I believe that a lot of that doesn't necessarily get recycled. Is that the kind of thing you're able to apply your national averages to?
Yeah, so that's really interesting that you mentioned the bags in the supermarket and that the soft plastics. People may be aware that for a few years now, supermarkets have said, bring your soft plastics back to us, we'll recycle them. And so lots of you, I'm sure, have been making lots of effort to collect up your soft plastics and take them to your local supermarket where they're all being collected and recycled, as you would think. We actually did a study 18 months ago now. It's called The Hard Truth About Soft Plastics. We actually put trackers in these soft plastics recycling containers. And it turns out that none of the soft plastics are being recycled here in the UK. Our trackers showed most are actually ending up in incinerators. A lot of the soft plastics that you think is being recycled is actually being burned, and other trackers ended up being exported to other countries where they're most likely to have been burned as well. The reality is that we don't currently have the infrastructure to effectively recycle film and soft plastics. The reality is that although lots of us are diligently collecting up those soft plastics to recycle, chances are that they are not being recycled, and certainly not here in the UK. Yeah, I do encourage anyone that's interested to check out that report, The Hard Truth About Soft Plastics.
So it's not just individuals and families that you want to join in with this. You want schools to join in as well. What have you got to offer them?
Yeah, we've had a really great uptake of schools. The last plastic count, teachers really got involved, both primary and secondary school. It's a great opportunity for them to engage pupils with the plastics crisis, with the kind of wider environmental impact of the plastics crisis, and also to engage them with taking action and doing something about it. So for teachers, we actually have a free webinar that's happening on Thursday, the 26th. We're working with a brilliant organisation called Plastic Clever Schools. So they're our schools partner. And together we've developed a whole host of resources that teachers can access. Once they've signed their class up, teachers have their own access to their own dashboard. And there they'll have all kinds of resources from lesson plans and assemblies, recordings as well, their own guide and how-to video, access to posters and various other kind of classroom materials. And the idea is that the teacher signs their class up, they send a letter out, all of the children to take home to their families, and then the children take part with their families collecting all of the plastic that they throw away, and then the teacher submits as a class. There's lots of follow-on activities that schools can take part in once the results have come out as well.
And you've explained how you use the results that you receive from us if we take part in the Big Plastic Camp. But what do you hope that we will get from it?
I think what we really want people to understand is that it's not about individual blame or feeling guilty. We really don't want people to kind of feel bad about the amount of plastic that they personally are using. I think with the Big Plastic Camp, we really want to highlight that people are not left with a lot of choice when it comes to the weekly shop, going to supermarkets. Most things come in plastic, and often you might find that some of the plastic, when you start to think about it, you think, is it really necessary? For example, on some items of uncut fruit and veg, for example. So it's really about connecting those actions that we do every day, eating food and drink and getting through plastic, with really what happens to it and the impact that it has from extraction, when plastic is being extracted as a fossil fuel, to how it's being disposed of. So whether that's litter, or you might live close to an incinerator, which has an impact on people's health. So we really want people to understand now it's time for governments and those big polluting brands and supermarkets to do their bit. The public are kind of doing their bit, and now there needs to be legislation and government, supermarkets and brands to do more to tackle the plastics crisis.
So I take it you don't think that the answer is in more recycling?
No. While there is a place for recycling, currently, too much plastic is being produced for our recycling systems to deal with, hence why we are exporting it, burying it, burning it. The answer really is to reduce the amount of plastic that we are creating, to give people other, some more sustainable options. You go to the supermarket and absolutely everything only comes in plastic. Well, that's a big issue, because you're not given another choice. So we need accessible and affordable alternatives. But essentially, yeah, we need to see less plastic being produced, which then means that the plastic that is out there, our recycling systems are able to cope with.
So you're not saying that we shouldn't be putting plastic into our recycling bins?
No, we definitely should. We should still be recycling as much as possible. It's definitely part of the solution, but it's not going to solve it completely.
Now, you said that you don't think that the plastic should be burnt, but some people would say, I mean, effectively, plastic is just a fossil fuel. And if we're burning it and using that to create energy, just the same as burning any other fossil fuel. And sadly, we are still burning fossil fuels for energy. So why not burn a waste product rather than something that we've just extracted from the ground? Isn't that a good solution?
Yeah, and I can totally see why people would think that. So it has become really the kind of cheapest and quickest way to deal with the amount of rubbish that we generate. But it is actually a major climate problem. If we take a step back, the plastics crisis isn't a standalone issue. It's completely intersectional with wider climate crisis and also social justice issues. And incineration is a major climate problem. So it produces around 16 million tons of toxic ash every year, and it emits huge quantities of CO2. Here in the UK as well, incinerators are actually disproportionately located in marginalised and underserved communities. So we're actually working with communities across the UK that live close to these incinerators. And we know that the air quality in these areas like this is having a huge impact on the local community's health. And it's a real environmental justice concern, as these communities are often paying the price of the climate crisis, that they are already disadvantaged, and actually living in close proximity to these incinerators means that they're exposed to higher risks of pollution and actually bear the health and social costs of the plastics crisis as well. So no, we don't see burning as a viable solution.
Indeed. And just to be clear, these incinerators are not there just specially for burning plastic. They're burning residual waste, of which plastic is a big proportion.
Exactly. And so, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So the solution, you've said that we need action from government, we need action from supermarket, we need action from brands. Is this something that can happen now? How can we help make it happen? And how will the Big Plastic Camp play a part in getting to that solution?
So the Big Plastic Camp, once we've crunched all of your data and we've looked at what's really happening to the plastic that we throw away, once you submit your data, you'll receive your personal plastic profile, which shows you what percentage of the plastic that you throw away was came from food and drink or from toiletries, cleaning products, and then how that compares to the national average. And then we are really calling on people to take further action. So to write to their MP, to share the results with MPs and with the government to say that you've taken part in the big plastic count, that you're really concerned with how much plastic you're throwing away and what's really happening to it and what you'd like to see happen as a result. So the results will be published on Earth Day, which is the 22nd of April. And we are calling for the government to do more to tackle the plastics crisis. Since the last big plastic count, we have a different government, a government that say that they are committed to doing more to tackle the plastics crisis. So we really want to put that promise to the test. And we want to encourage them to be ambitious on the global stage as well. When it comes to the next round of the global plastics treaty negotiations, we want to see the UK being a leader there. But national level, we think that there are some easy wins and some legislation that they can bring in quickly that will help reduce the amount of plastic that's out there. And one of those is to reduce the plastic packaging around uncut fruit and vegetables. Another thing we'd like to see is them to halt the construction of new waste incinerators across the UK, and also to have tighter regulations on exporting plastic waste to other countries. So the best thing you can do is to take part, submit your data, and then there's an opportunity to contact your MP, contact the government, and ask them to do more to tackle the plastic crisis by supporting our policy asks.
My thanks to Eve Warlow of Everyday Plastic. And I'll make sure that I pop a link to join the Big Plastic Count into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And just to confirm that here in Hertfordshire, all our residual waste, so if you live in St Albans, what goes into your brown bin is not landfilled but is sent to various waste incinerators, as Eve suggested. And we have previously had assurances here on Environment Matters from Hertfordshire Waste Aware Coordinator David Burley that our plastic recycling is processed here in the UK. And I'll put a link to the podcast where I speak to David into the notes that go with the podcast too. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.